I'm going to turn this back to Richard and Henry again. I think the largest item on our agenda for today is the committee's initial or next. I guess it was discussed at some point at the last meeting, but the next conversation about the review and revisions to the due process handbook. So, Richard.
Yes. So in the meeting in November, the committee agreed with the staff proposal that we should undertake a review of the due process handbook. This is partly because it's timely, because the last review is in 2013, and partly because there were comments made in the reputation survey about the time that we take on standards, and we thought it was appropriate to re-examine the handbook. The paper you have before you sets out both the timetable and the key issues that we think should be within the scope for the first discussion. The timetable is set out in paragraphs 4 and 5 on page 2 of the paper. It has regard to the timetable for the last review, the scope that we believe is appropriate, and staff resources, and of course the important need to get input from the Advisory Council and to allow enough time for comment. The paper suggests a 6-month comment period. On reflection, we may think that it could be shorter. Be interested in your views on that, because we see this project as evolution, not revolution. We see this as taking what is a really very robust and sound due process for the foundation and seeing areas where it could be improved. And so I'll just take you through the key issues that we've highlighted in paragraph 6. Which summarizes the issues which are described in greater detail in the paper. The first is that we think it would be sensible to look at the way that it's possible to navigate this handbook. As a user of this, I find that I have to start at the beginning and work my way through every time I want to find anything. It's a document that's grown over time. It's not that easy to navigate. So at the very simplest, it would be helpful to improve navigation and efficiency of use. There are specific issues about the interaction between the board and the interpretations committee, which are challenging and sensitive, and we want to spend some time on that. Technology, we had some comments on the reputation survey that it might be helpful to use technology better in providing the opportunity to comment on documents, and it might be helpful for us to be able to streamline that process. The old style of a typed letter which is signed and posted is long gone.
There's an overlap between the navigation point and the technology point.
Yes,
it seems to me
that
is well worth thinking about. I mean, we live in an online world. I'm not sure we should be thinking about the due process handbook as a set of pages as opposed to something that is more web-based.
Quite right. Yeah, with more hyperlinks. And the same applies with how we receive documents, so that's on the list. We want to do more on the effects analysis process, and that's something that will be going to the Advisory Council in February. And connected with that is post-implementation reviews, where we think that there could be more done. We want to reflect the way that the board's activities are changing, that there's more focus on implementation and the publication of education material. Some of the current due process steps around education material may not be quite appropriate. They don't really mesh well with the way that other things are done. As you know, we had a due process complaint which was addressed at the last meeting in November, and committee members then asked whether we should be looking more closely at the way that we deal with complaints which are anonymous, and that complaint was, so we'll look at that. More consistent use of terminology, where there are inconsistencies at the moment, and indeed there are certain job titles embedded in the handbook where we don't actually use those titles anymore, so that we can address. Clarity on the types of due process documents, and that's explained further in the paper, and notably a better acknowledgement of the fact that as the meetings are now public, some of the information, some of the requirements in the due process handbook are no longer required. So there's a mixture there of some administrative stuff and some more substantive issues that we want to address. And the timetable that we've set out for you is really driven by the need to have staff available and the need to make sure that we keep the committee informed at each stage of the process and that we have a proper discussion of the issues with the Advisory Council. So that's where we are. Is there anything you wanted to add on that, Henry? This is the first substantive discussion, and we'd be very interested in your comments and thoughts.
Larry?
Thank you, Alan. So the insurance standard was a long-term project. Have we, over that long-term period, I would imagine that there were a number of lessons learned along the way. And so the question is, you know, have we picked up those lessons learned and for purposes of considering an update to the handbook?
They'll certainly be within scope. The lessons learned were about how we go about setting standards rather more than due process issues. But Hemi looks as though he wants to answer.
Only just to say, I mean, it's a very good point. And actually, one of the things that we discussed with the trustees at a previous meeting was precisely that point. We did a presentation on, let's look back, and we did the same on the leases standard as well, which again was another big long-term project to see what we could learn as we look back in terms of, you know, process going forward.
Yeah. Larry, I would say related to that perhaps is the fact that if you look forward, I don't think there is on the current horizon anything as major as those two or three standard-setting projects. And so we will definitely have in scope what we learn from those and try to reflect at them in the revisions. I think we also are going to have to, if you think about what our strategic plan is for the next 5 years, it's more around application, implementation, consistency of application, and so forth. And so one of the things that I think the current handbook is frankly probably a little light on that stuff because we haven't done that, hasn't been the focus. And one of the things that is also definitely in scope is to sort of think forward, perhaps without all the experience we might want to have, but to think forward as to how the handbook should reflect what we think a significant amount of our work is going to be going forward. Michelle?
Thank you, Alan. Actually, my comment was you sort of stole my thunder here, mm-hmm. but I think I was wondering if it would not be helpful to have two things here. One would be to state the overall objective we're trying to achieve with the revision, and to be one are those that were flagged by, you know, some of the survey were done, and two was to make sure that we could look prospectively at what, you know, what we want to achieve with the process. So it seems to me that we may be missing here, you know, sort of a section which is really focused on what do we need going forward, what we learned from, you know, from history, and what we want to achieve through that process. And if we were stating that, I think that would sort of guide, you know, what we want to do more specifically. The second point I had was that I'm wondering if, as part of this process, the role of this committee should not be also, and how it executes its work and its mission, should be also somehow, you know, part of that process, because again, there's a lot of legacy and, you know, in what exists today, and I wonder if that's not another opportunity to take a fresh look at how can this committee most effectively meet its role in the context of the change that would be introduced.
Michelle, I think you can safely assume that all three of the points you made are in the scope of the review. I think the last one is actually pretty well implied in what is on here, but yes, we will definitely do all of those things. At the end of the revisions, it would be very good if the handbook better delineated respective roles. We've talked about the board and the interpretations committee. We can also talk about the committee. the DPOC as well. Teresa?
Thank you, Alan. I have a related question, which is, given that this exercise is in relation to the review of the due process handbook, and what is, my question is simply, what is the parameter of this due process exercise? Is it only in relation to everything that is carried out by the organization internally in the life cycle of the setting and the issue of a standard and adoption of a standard, or does it extend beyond that to all the activities that we do in terms of outreach, you know, preparation of education?
Yeah, no, it extends to not beyond the activities of the foundation, but it extends to the four corners of the activities of the foundation. For example, it extends to take an example of educational materials, which we have now been putting out in much greater profusion and connection with the insurance standard than we have been before. One of the due process issues around the education materials, this committee doesn't think about the content of those materials in a general sense, but the question is, in a principles-based standard-setting world, are we engaged in backdoor standard-setting in some of the educational in the education materials we use? That is a due process question. That is covered by the handbook. Another example, post-implementation reviews, where a certain amount of time after a standard is adopted and effective, the board and the trustees go back and review what's happened under that standard. That's covered by the due process handbook. So it's not just standard setting. Interpretation committee's activities are covered by the due process handbook, and there are many others.
Right. Can I ask a follow-up
sure.
question, which is a more specific one? And I know that you have done some initial preparation to arrive at this sort of non-exhaustive list of areas that you're looking at. In your preliminary engagement or review, internal, you know, in conjunction with other parties, have you come across anything that you, which is significant or even at an administrative nature, that you are minded not to carry out a review? I'm asking, you know, has there been anything which is actually that you've decided that maybe not for now, maybe later on because it's not significant enough or for whatever any other reason?
That sounds like a real lawyer's question. Is there anything else you want to tell me? no, I don't think so. This is everything that we've done a lot of thinking. We've asked people. We've had some helpful comments internally. I don't think there's anything that we've, anything else we want to do.
I thought I saw a 10. Sheila, I knew there was one.
Thank you. Earlier in our meeting, we discussed the reputation survey and some of the actions to be taken to address issues that were raised there. And we were briefed on one of the projects that I'll call the timeliness project. And I note that the timeline for that project is significantly later than the timeline for the due process handbook. And I would have thought that there would be potentially actions coming from the timeliness project that could affect due process. So I'm just wondering if that assumption is correct, and if so, how do we reconcile the timelines of those two projects? Because this is being completed, the draft due process handbook here is being done almost a year before the other one. So.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So when we looked at the reputation survey, and we brought it back to you in November, one of the things that came out of the survey was people saying you need to streamline, and you need to, some said that you need to reduce the amount of process. And we took the view that that was not appropriate, that the due process is highly regarded, and we got that feedback as well. The reputation survey said both things. First, you have a very good, high-quality due process. Second, you need to streamline it and do less. and we thought that those two positions couldn't be reconciled. So when we went round to the various groups that had offered us comments, we made the comment that we didn't intend to take that on, and we brought that back. So we won't be saying at the end of this, I think, that there are things we should stop doing on due process. Rather, we're saying that there are things we could do better. Does that make sense to you? Is that you?
Well, there may be things that still need to be done but could be done differently that I would have thought would have come from the timeliness project that will feed back.
Sure, that's
not
what you're saying. It's something we'll take
something,
away.
The interaction is well worth making sure we've considered.
Needs to take a look at
that. Yeah, yeah. There is. We actually talked about this a little bit, at least indirectly. An example of is actually this project. We will think about part of the decision of 180 versus 120 in terms of a comment period is a due process question. And we'll wrestle with that when we see what the revisions look like. I think that will dictate what kind of a comment period we want. I think my instinct is if they are of the evolutionary sort we're talking about, then 120 is right. But we will see. But the other thing I was going to say is I think the conceptual phase of the timeliness project is likely to be finished as opposed to actually figuring out what the results of the timeliness project concepts, what those results will be with respect to how we think about timing in specific projects. I think we probably will have a pretty good grasp of the concepts within the 2020 timeframe we're talking about here, but we'll see.
Okay. My question is more practical. I find it odd that a review, which is not a revolution really, which is a thinking of something which is already quite sophisticated and functions fairly well, takes a little more than 1 year starting today. And I wonder whether we could not reduce the timing. Whether we really need 6 months of consultation. When you consult on substance and you need to do some statistical analysis, see what are the consequences of a standard and so on and so forth, I can understand that you take some time for the people to analyze and respond. But here I think that the questions that are raised could really be addressed in a shorter period of time. So I would propose that we try to reduce the timing of this operation.
That's fine, and we will certainly think about that. I think we've probably already we've already thought about that in terms of a fairly big hunk in thinking about what the comment period should be, 120 versus 180. In terms of the consultation period, yes, maybe it can be shorter. I will tell you when you it's come up earlier in these meetings as well. We have been criticized for two things in terms of time. One is we should move faster and things should be streamlined, and two, we should not miss deadlines. And that's where the tension is. When we finally set a deadline here, I want to be very sure we're going to meet that deadline. But with that observation, Michelle, I completely take your point.
Maybe that's a good question to talk to the advisory council about when you talk to them about the due process handbook, because I think Michelle has a fair point. On the other hand, people tend to like have a long time to consult. So, and they're such a diverse group, that might be something useful to bounce off them.
Point well taken. Yeah, I agree. I think what we want from the committee on this is an agreement that with the that the paper plus the discussion that we've had here, do we approve for the moment, subject to future decision making, the proposed timeline and the proposed scope of the review? That doesn't mean it's set in stone, because I promise you, we will revise both before we're done. But are we okay with where we are for now?
Yep.
I think the answer is.
Maybe we could leave the timeline aside until there is a refinement to that and agree on the scope to the extent that, is that, does that make sense? Or?
But the next milestone is coming back to this committee in June, so that's certainly
With a timeline then?
Yep, that's the next milestone
okay.
in the timeline.
Okay.
I mean. So
right,
yes,
thank you.
For sure.
Okay. Very good.